Welcome to Creating the World's Best Client Experience. This is the business edition of our successful Tuesday flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I'm Allison Kay. I'm a 30-year health and fitness veteran turned business strategist and retreat master. And every Thursday, we're talking about what it takes to create client experiences that actually matter. Because here's what I've noticed. Client experiences have become impersonal, transactional, digital only, and frankly, boring. There, I said it. But the truth is, a client experience is so much more than a transaction. It's about what goes into creating transformation, the strategy behind it, the intentionality, and the human connection. And that's what we're exploring on this show. Whether you're building retreats, hosting events, creating high-touch programs, or reimagining how you serve your clients, this is where we talk about how business owners can create different experiences within their businesses. Experiences that don't just serve clients, they transform them. So if you're ready to go beyond the same old automated funnels and cookie cutter approaches, you're in the right place. Let's dive in and get into the show. Hey everybody, it's Allison Kaczkowski back again for another edition of Creating the World's Best Client Experience. This is part two of my newest mini-series. If you have not listened yet to part one, which just dropped last week, that is the one where I talked about how you know when it's time to make a big change and how to navigate making that big change in your business. And in that chat, I basically talked about my decision-making process, how we made the decision to acquire Luxury and Business Retreats as part of the Allison Kay brand now. And in that episode, I talked a lot about my thought process, how I made the decision that I made. And also, if I'm being honest, a lot of the anxiety and the crazy thoughts that I had throughout that 3.5 month process. So I would really recommend that you go and give that one a listen and then bookmark this one and come back and listen to this one after that. But today in part two, I am sitting here with Erin Haig herself, who is the one who actually started Luxury and Business Retreats, as you guys know. And we're going to talk about the process that we used, how we navigated making this big change. But I really want to pull the curtain back and share with you guys, you know, her decision-making process, what guided her to make this decision, how she figured out, and well, not figured out, but how she decided to offer me the opportunity and kind of what our vision is going forward. So always good to talk to you.
Oh my goodness. I'm so excited to talk about this because we have been keeping this secret for such a long time.
I know. There have been
many times we've like, each individually
almost slipped.
Yeah, totally.
So like I said, in part one, I talked about how you approached me, how I walked through in my mind, how to make the decision to say yes, you know, all the crazy thoughts that I have, well, shit, what if it doesn't work? All of that. So now what I want to start with though, is I want to hear from you because I want you to share with my audience what brought you to this point? You obviously created Luxury and Business Retreats because you love retreats. You believe in retreats. You believe that retreat leaders need to be paid what they're worth. And so why would you let that go?
I know. It is the question that everybody is asking, but it started a while ago. Mm-hmm. A year ago, if you had asked me, said to me, you are going to sell Luxury and Business Retreats within the next year, I would have told you, you were crazy.
Yeah.
You know, right. a year ago at its peak, I had 5 companies. Mm-hmm. So I have my parent company that owns all of the individual revenue generating companies underneath. And at the beginning of last year, I reduced the number of companies that I owned mm-hmm. to pricing overhaul.
Right.
And Luxury and Business Retreats. I was in partnership with a very well-known wine family with a wine retreats business in Europe, and I removed myself from that.
Yep.
That was summer of last year. Mm-hmm. Right around the same time, summer, I dissolved my partnership with the curriculum developer for Pricing Overhaul Academy, my certification program.
Right.
And with her permission, I brought that in-house under Pricing Overhaul. So summer of last year, I was feeling light. I was feeling like, okay, I offloaded 2, I consolidated, I've got 2 companies, they're working really well. You know, all of it was great. Mm-hmm. And everything was great. There was nothing wrong.
Right.
But I was still, even with the two companies, battling this like daily internal struggle of where do I focus my energy and who am I as a thought leader?
Yeah.
And the lines became very blurred. Like people were asking, well, are you the pricing girl or are you the retreat girl? And I was constantly, my identity was oscillating between the two and I was split.
And you were doing both really well for a while, but I can totally see where you're going with that.
Yeah. But there got to a point where both businesses progressed and grew as high and as far as they were going to grow with me being split in the middle. Mm-hmm. And I love both companies. I love both services. I love both industries. I love all of my clients in both. Mm-hmm. And I really had to ask myself genuinely, am I capable of continuing to scale and grow two companies, two brands at the same time?
Yeah.
And I started to play around with the idea of like, maybe I sell it. Maybe I bring on a partner. Maybe I had engaged like a couple of other people like in conversation about what if I bring you on as a partner? And that never went anywhere. And it wasn't until November when I did my end of year tax projections for my accountant. I do a profit analysis. I do a year-end projection. And I also do a business valuation. And I always do this. This is part of my regular annual practice. And when I looked at the numbers side by side, both businesses were growing.
Yeah.
Both businesses were profitable. Both businesses had recurring, significant recurring revenue. But both businesses had areas of opportunity.
Yeah.
And I had to be very, very realistic with myself in, do I have the capacity and bandwidth to fill in these areas of opportunity or expand upon them? And I didn't. I knew I had to make a choice. I had to choose one. And immediately I was like, well, I don't want to close the door to luxury and business retreats. That would be sad because I have all of these ideas and visions for where I want it to go. I just realized I was not the right person to continue to do that. And I just immediately, Allison, you were the first and only person who came to mind. Literally.
Well, I just want to put a pin in that for just a second. We'll come back to that in just a minute. But what I want people to hear is really what you just said, is that you get to a certain point in your business with an idea. And I think you have to ask yourself, what do I really want to be known for? Mm-hmm. Right? What is the one thing that I help my clients do? And look, I know we haven't known each other a long time, but we've been following each other longer than we've actually known each other.
Yeah.
And one of the things that always comes to my mind when I follow any of your stuff is pricing and profitability. That is your lane. That is what you love. That is what you're known for.
Yes.
And it's creative to work it in the retreat space too, because it's a necessary piece. But at the end of the day, and correct me if I'm wrong, but at the end of the day, my feeling is you did not want to be known for just doing retreats. You want to be known for helping to elevate the money mindset right, of women business owners like internationally.
100%. Yes. I mean, my brand, my main company, the foundation of everything that I do is pricing overhaul. And the truth is, I had zero intention of building a separate retreat company.
It just kind of happened.
Yeah, I hosted a retreat after COVID with my pricing overhaul clients. It went well. I made money. I did it again. It went even better. I made even more money. And it was January of 2023 that my attorney was like, okay, this has to become its own entity. Like, this isn't a price and overhaul business. This is its own thing.
Yeah.
And you want to separate them because you don't want any potential liability that naturally comes with retreats to have access or affect the assets that you have in price and overhaul. So that's why it became its own company. Yeah. And 3 years later, it evolved into this like huge machine, an engine, and community. And like, it became so much more than me.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so I realized that like, I did a really, I'll pat myself on the back. I did a really great job building this.
You did.
Setting the foundation.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't believe I am the person to take it to the next level.
Yeah, I think you really, you know, it's the perfect example of taking an idea and running with it and building it. And then you get to a certain point and you're like, all right, where is this going from here?
Right.
You know, I mean, honestly, when I think back, this isn't an exact analogy, but when I think back to when I started my business, my intention was not to do what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
My intention was to just start a personal training company, build and scale it. That was my intention when I left my first job after school. And quickly it became something other than that.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that. I get that whole line of thinking. So I guess my next question and what I want you to share with everybody is that you've sort of reached this decision. How did you know that it was the right thing to like put in motion before the end of the year? Because I can remember distinctly sitting here at my desk and getting the message from you saying
December 2nd.
Would you? I know, because it was a Tuesday. And I remember that
December 2nd.
It was in the morning. And I remember that because I meet with my coach at noon on Tuesday every mm-hmm. week. And I got the message from you. And then I got on the call with her. And she was the first person I told because she knows everything about my
business. Yeah.
And so I think, what brought you to like put this in motion before the end of the year? Because then the reason I asked that is that it would have been easy for you to sit on it until January and finish the year out and then start the year and say, here's the plan.
I think once I know the answer, I take immediate action.
Mm-hmm.
I am not somebody who sits on something and waits for perfect timing.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew it was like a week or two before
mm-hmm.
I had run the profit analysis. I had done the business valuation. And I remember also I have a rule
mm-hmm.
that I do a business valuation every year. And if the number that pops up is an amount that if somebody offered that to me, I would say, yes, I'll sell it to you. Then that's the moment for me to say, okay, it's no longer mine. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
It's time.
It's an intuitive hit and you go with it.
I go with it. And so, but I did the numbers and I didn't even tell my husband that I was having these thoughts. You know, I do a walk every morning for like an hour and a half when I'm like brain dumping and thinking. And it was like during that I was really like processing. And I just had this feeling. And so I brought it to my husband's attention and I started talking it through with him. And the more and more, like, I just like talked it out. It just, the path was so clear.
Yeah.
It made so much sense.
Yeah.
That not selling it no longer made sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that because I knew in my decision-making process, and we'll talk about this in just a minute, that I knew that I was finally ready when I reached the point in my mind where if I didn't do it, I was going to regret it. And I talked about that a lot in part one.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's a hit that you get and you know it and you just have to go with it. You have to trust it.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's also a level of vulnerability. I say this all the time that a business is a reflection of the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Its strengths are a reflection. Its constraints are a reflection. And you really have to be vulnerable and be able to, without ego, putting that aside, say, what are the things that I've done really well? Acknowledging that, like, I did things really well. The numbers show that I did things really well, but what are the areas of opportunity? What am I, like, where are things falling through the cracks? What could I be doing better? Where are the missed opportunities? What are the things that, you know, the members need more of?
Mm-hmm.
And being able to say, are you capable? And not even capable, are you willing or do you want to do that?
Yeah, because I think every business owner needs to really think about that. And mm-hmm. I can tell you, after being in my industry for close to 30 years, you know, there are things that, you know, I think it's very easy to get complacent and to just, you know, do something and you can keep doing it because you're good at it and it's easy. And I'm not going to say you shouldn't focus on what's easy for you in your business.
Right.
You shouldn't just keep doing something because it's the way you've always done it.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I had a very clear path of like a very clear goal of what I wanted for the business and what I wanted for the memberships and for the members. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, so if that's the path, what is the strategy to get there?
Mm-hmm.
Whew. Am I capable of that strategy? Yes, I am. If 100% of my time is focused on that.
Yeah.
But I don't, I have this other company. I don't have 100% of my time and energy to be able to give to it. So it was always going to be 50% effort mm-hmm. with a 50% return. And it deserves more than that.
Yeah, agree. 100%. So once we started talking uh-huh. and you, and I remember asking you, why are you doing this? Because mm-hmm. that was the question my coach asked. She's like, why is she walking away? What do we not know?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that like in a negative way, just like a normal thing that you would ask. And so, you know, once we got into the conversations and you were like, here's where I am, basically everything that you just said. And it took me a while for it to set in with me too. Like, is this something I really want to do?
Yeah. Well, and I think I said to you, I have an opportunity with Price and Overhaul. And it was literally that. I did an opportunity analysis of like, what are the opportunities in each business and which opportunity is going to be the most scalable for me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is the opportunity that I have right now, what I'm in the works on. Is that the same? In the works on right now?
What you're building.
Yeah. Inside Pricing Overhaul requires all of my energy. And that opportunity is huge.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So we got into the conversations, mm-hmm. you know, you sort of the way you left it with me was, you know, take till the end of the year.
Yeah.
And like decide if this is something that you're really serious about and we can, you know, get back on a call in January. And that's kind of where we picked up at the beginning of this year.
Yeah. Well, and if you recall, so anytime you're considering to sell your business, you want to put together what's called a business acquisition opportunity document. It's basically a sell sheet.
Yeah.
And it's the first thing that any potential buyer is going to look at. It's like the highlights, it's the bullet points.
And it's like the speaker sheet.
It's like your speaker sheet, right? Yeah. But it's the sell sheet. It's called the business acquisition opportunity sheet or document. And there are two versions of this. There's one that's like gives enough information, but it's generic because that's before a non-disclosure agreement is signed.
Right. Correct.
And then there is one that is very detailed with specific numbers and percentages and this and that and metrics that is given and provided after a non-disclosure agreement is signed. So mm-hmm. I presented the first version to you, the pre-NDA version for you to look. And that's just like an amuse-bouche, so to speak. Yeah. You know, just a little like sample flavor just mm-hmm. to like wet your palate a little bit. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, okay, yeah, that's of interest to me. We signed a non-disclosure agreement. Yep. I gave you the other version that actually had metrics and numbers and all of that.
Right.
And then, yeah, you were thinking about it through the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So there were several weeks where I was sitting here like, oh my God, I really hope she wants it. I really hope she wants it. What if she doesn't want it? I didn't tell you this, but during that time, I pulled a list of competitors and I ranked them of like, if Allison doesn't want this, who am I going to pitch this to next? Mm-hmm. And I had a list.
Yeah, of course you did.
Yeah. And I never wanted to go to that list.
Yeah. Well, so we got into, because you had told me that, you said, well, this is my plan.
Yeah.
And I really would like for you to do this. But so I knew that that was a possibility. And if I'm being perfectly honest, I didn't want anybody else to do it either, truly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, because how much would, if one of the other competitors purchased it and you didn't, like.
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of was part of my process and thinking, like, I knew that if I got down the road and didn't do this, it's kind of like something that my coach told me. She said, look, she said, you know, this won't be the only opportunity that'll come your way. You know, she just said, I'm not going to tell you not to, but just like keep that in mind. This isn't going to be the only thing. But she even said, you don't want to get too far down the road and think that you can't look back, you know? So it was like, that's kind of what really planted the seed for me. So,
yeah. So then it was January. Oh my goodness. We can really pull the curtain back.
Yeah.
Because I had a site visit at the Sancerre France Chateau first week of January, and I was traveling with a client. Mm-hmm. And here I am waiting to do this site visit at the same time waiting for you to tell me, okay, yes, I'm interested. Because if you were going to buy, that was going to affect what was going to happen with the Sancerre France retreat.
Correct.
And so there I was in France for a week.
Yeah.
Like oscillating between these two possibilities and not being able to say anything to my client.
I know. Yeah.
I consumed a lot of wine.
Yeah. It was a lot of, back and forth. And look, I just know how I operate and I know what my process is. It's like, I'm somebody that really has to think things through. I don't overthink necessarily, but I need to think things through from multiple angles. And it just, sometimes it just takes me a little bit longer to like process. So I can appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then the next step was, once you said, yes, I want to move forward, we had a letter of intent drafted. And then we had multiple versions of that drafts that we were going back and forth. Because so the letter of intent, for those of you who are listening, it's not legally binding. A letter of intent is simply saying the buyer is serious, and assuming everything checks out during due diligence, which is the next phase, I do have interest in buying this company, and let's start to talk about what those conditions would be. So that's where we talk about what would the timeline be? What would the transitional support be? What would happen with the retreats? Like, that's when we kind of outlined all of that. And then you put a deposit down, like you said in the last, a good faith deposit.
Right.
And that was signed, what was that, January 30th?
By the end of January, yeah.
Yeah. And then the first 2 weeks of February, we moved into due diligence. And so due diligence is now, okay, she put down a deposit. The deposit was an escrow with the attorney. The LOI was signed. And now you get to look under the hood. You basically get to see, like, is what has been sold to me accurate?
Legit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did that for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You got into everything.
Pretty much. We went through everything with a fine tooth comb. And I had like a bunch of questions too, because I remember talking to my husband about it. And he's like, well, what about this? And have you thought about this? And of course, the big question that everybody's probably thinking, and that I actually talked about last week, and this is a question that my husband had too. He's like, so what if everybody leaves? What are you going to do? And I'm like, well, they're not going to leave. But I had to think about that too.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. Well, one of the benefits of having a recurring revenue model is that when people join a membership or any type of recurring revenue program, that is with the company.
Yeah.
And so one of the benefits to buying a company that has recurring revenue is because you're walking into guaranteed payments, which is great. But yes, of course, like, are they going to renew? Are they going to stay? Are they like, you know, all those things.
So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Celebate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Celebate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Celebate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day, and what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition
to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Celevate.com, which is CELLEV8.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
So we did the due diligence. And if there was anything that you saw that was inconsistent with what was promised or that you just didn't like, you could have backed out and gotten your deposit back.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember there were lots of questions. There was a lot of back and forth, which is completely to be expected.
Yeah. So then due diligence happens and you say, okay, I'm moving forward. Then we had to start drafting the actual real deal, the thing that made it official, which was the asset purchase agreement. I think it took us like about a month.
It did. It took us about a month because we had to go back and forth. There were like several things. We wanted to be really clear on, you know, how much support you were going to give me, you know, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we had to figure out what was happening with future retreats, you know, all of that type of stuff. And during this, remember, we had to contact my vendors.
Yeah.
Because part of the deal is, in an asset purchase agreement, is you're acquiring my contracts, you're acquiring my relationships. So that's when we had to reach out to vendors, get them to sign and agree to non-disclosure agreements and ask their permission to transfer my service contracts to you. Like it was a lot.
It was a lot of back and forth. And there were a lot of thoughts that I had where I was like, well, what if I don't want to do it that way or whatever? And it's like, you know, anything that was already agreed upon, I was going to honor. But then beyond that, it was like, well, shit, if I don't honor it, what am I going to do? You know, so it was a lot of that thought process, too, as the buyer.
Yeah. Well, and then the asset purchase agreement has just like very dense legalese that you have to have interpreted. And then, so it was going back with the attorneys and going back like, it was a lot. So then
there were a few paragraphs where I was like, what is this?
What? Mean? Right.
What do I have to do about this? And you were like, well, normally this means this, but let me find out. So there was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot of back and forth about
that. And then, there were sometimes that you would ask me a question like, what does this mean? I'm like, honestly, I don't know what that means. Can someone?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Translator, please.
Yeah.
So then it was, what was it? End of February or March? Is that when we were in Texas together?
Yeah. Was the end of February when we were at our friend Shannon's retreat ranch.
And that's when we were receiving the final version of the asset purchase agreement. At her house, sitting on her couch in pajamas, drinking wine, and the two of us going back to our rooms in her house, texting each other back and forth. Okay, I'm signing. Okay, I've got it too. I'm signing. Like,
it was a lot of like, well, this isn't there. Can you make sure? You know, and it was just like, and then it was just, then I was just like, oh shit, you know, it was just like a little nerve wracking.
Yeah. But once the asset purchase agreement was signed, then it was official. Then we had, it was a month from asset purchase agreement being signed to closing.
Yeah.
And that typically, so it's a done deal once the APA is signed. Everyone's committed. But then the closing, it's like, okay, that's where you have to get like, how are the funds? How are you funding it? How are the funds going to be transferred? You know, like all of that type of, you know, closing. What are the tax implications? What do we have to do from, you know, a state registration standpoint?
Yeah.
And then that was a month.
Yeah.
And then
there were a lot of, you know, some back and forth getting all that worked out. And then it finally, March 31st got here and here we are.
There we are. Oh my God. And then we had planned, remember our rollout? We were like, this is how we're going to roll out. We had a video created.
Yeah.
We had the email sequences. Like we had the strategy. And I just remember before we pressed send on that first email.
Yeah.
I'm on my couch and I'm like, okay, no turning back. Where's the glass of wine?
Right. Totally. Right. Yeah, it was just like, I remember you sent me a message and you were like, 1 hour.
Countdown.
1 hour. Right?
Yeah, it was because by that point it was official. By 3 p.m. on March 31st, I think you had already transferred the funds. The funds were in escrow. The closing docs were executed from all three parties, me, you, the attorney. So it was official.
Yeah.
And then we decided we weren't going to announce it until 6 p.m.
Right. And we also wanted to make sure that the members knew first, because I've been part of organizations where there's sort of this public announcement made and there are people on the inside that are like, what?
What?
No idea. And you and I were both very clear that we were like, no, that's not what we want to have happen.
Yeah, we wanted to give the members at least 24 hours to process, notify them first. I will say I was really nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we were going to go out to dinner to celebrate. And I told my husband, I am not going to be okay at a restaurant. Like, I need to be at home in my pajamas on my couch with my cell phone and a bottle of Dom Perignon to like manage the notifications.
Yeah, I know, right? So yeah, though, so the video went out and immediately like our Voxer chat like lit up and everybody's like, what? What? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. What? And then there's a group of us from the Champagne, France retreat, you know, last year that have a Voxer chat going. And so they're all like, what? Oh my gosh. When did this happen? And it was just like, just this constant like popcorning back and forth.
Well, and it was funny to like let people connect the dots.
Yeah.
I think hindsight being what it is, it kind of makes sense now to people because they're like, oh, right. Allison joined the membership. Allison has taught several masterclasses within the membership. Allison was a workshop presenter at the Slovenia retreat. Like, you've offered private sessions to people inside. So like, it was teed up for you to be the authority. You were already one of the authorities in the group. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was a natural transition.
Yeah. And I, you know, had really built relationships with just about all members in there, even people who have elected not to renew, you know, which I'm just going to be very transparent to people listening. You're going to be getting a reach out from me very soon because that's part of my plan too.
Yeah. And so I just remember being relieved. I knew that our members were awesome. And I really that night went to bed feeling like, oh my goodness, this was the right decision for everybody. Because they were so happy for us and so excited.
And
the response has just been so, I just feel like if we look at a year from now, 5 years from now, if both of us, buyer and seller and clients, are saying that was the best decision, then we know that that was the best decision.
Yeah. And I just, you know, for people listening who might be thinking, okay, so I've heard the story and, you know, I totally hear and understand like how this all came about. But at the end of the day, it sort of sounds like it was a calculated thing. And I think there are two sides to that. Okay.
Yeah.
There's the side that, okay, for people thinking that maybe this was sort of like thrown on them with not a lot of thought, I totally get that. I think anytime something's thrown on you that's not expected is like that. But what I really want people to understand is that this was not a decision that you made overnight. This was not something that just, you know, you put an offer out, somebody bought it, and boom, kind of like buying a house, which is very transactional. It really wasn't like that.
No.
And this continues to be a well thought out situation, like going forward, like over the next couple months. It's like I have my own plans on how I'm going to be rolling out some new options for current members, for people who have been members to come back. And all of those decisions you and I are going to talk about too, just because I value your input.
Yeah. And already, like, I remember saying, these are my ideas that for this company and for the membership. And these are the things I want to be able to do, but I know I can't do. Mm-hmm. And you immediately were like, oh my goodness, those are all the things I would totally do and I can do. And I would love to do that.
Yeah, because, you know, for me, it's not always about offering more things. There's a lot about what I teach is helping you monetize the one thing that you do in a number of different ways. Because relying on just one offer today is just not smart. You want to have multiple ways that people can work with you. But having said that, when we look at what you've built and kind of what my ideas are in not just making it accessible for everyone, but offering like a shit ton, a lot more value.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where it can really get fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, you know, I think that I know it's shocking or was shocking. And, you know, people are kind of like, what? Oh my God, I can't believe this has been going on for months. But also I feel like, not to toot our horn, but it's a masterclass.
It is.
In how to exit and acquire a business.
Yeah.
And to do it thoughtfully and strategically and in the best interest of everybody.
Yeah.
And the members get to be witness to that.
Yeah. I feel like for people to be able to see this process play out. And like, that's why I wanted to record these episodes, because I wanted people to hear my story,
right,
how I made this decision, how you came to make this decision, mm-hmm, and most importantly, like, what's going to be the vision going forward. I think those are things that you just can't say enough.
Yeah, no. And I mean, we're still in transition. So it's only been a week and a half,
10
days. By the time this is released, it'll be 2 weeks.
Correct.
That you've been the owner. And like, we still have to transition the social media account to you. You know, like, there's still things.
Yeah, there's still lots of things. I'm still reading a lot of email sequences and deciding how I want to change that. I mean, this isn't just something that just happens overnight.
Yeah.
And one of the other things that I'm doing right now is having individual conversations with each of the members that are already inside, just to hear what they want and hear where they are. Yeah. And because whatever changes I make, you know, even though I have my own ideas, I want to make sure it's in alignment with what they want, is in their best interest too.
Yeah, of course. So for the next 3 months through the end of June, I'm on as transitional consultative support.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm still co-hosting and facilitating the monthly group calls within the membership. And you've retained me to still host the Sancerre France retreat in September.
Of course. Yeah, and this is like your last hurrah. This is like your last official retreat, even though I'm going to have you back to like teach workshops and possibly host a part two next year to what you're teaching this fall. I mean, this isn't the last time you're going to be on a part of luxury and business retreats.
Yeah. But this will be the last time that I am the full host, the primary host.
Yeah.
And so for those of you who have ever been on retreat with me, mm-hmm, I would love for you to be a part of the like grand finale, so to speak.
The send off. Yeah.
The send off. Thank you. I like that. And those of you who have been saying for years, one day, I am going to go on your retreat. I am. You know who you are.
Yeah.
You've been in my DMs for years.
Yeah.
You got to do it now. Yep. This is it.
Yep. Seriously, this is it. And it's April when we're recording this and releasing it, if you're listening.
Yeah.
So you've got May, June, July, August, September, 5-6 months to make your plans. Plenty of time to make your plans.
Plenty.
But don't wait too long to reserve your room, because it's really a matter of time and these last rooms are just going to fill up.
Yeah. And where were we? Slovenia.
Mm-hmm.
Slovenia was over the top.
Yep.
You know, I'm going out with a bang. You know, it's going to have to be better than that.
Total shocker. I never asked that about you at all.
I'm so competitive with myself.
Yeah, you think? Just a little?
Yeah.
Never content with the way things are. It's always got to go up a notch.
I know. Well, and you know, we're serious about this. Like, this is the last retreat that I'm hosting, because I'm going to share, I signed a non-compete.
Yep. That's right. Yep. For the next 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's not to say in the future that you won't be doing some kind of retreat or whatever as part of what we're doing, but still, it's like, this is it, people.
Yeah, this is. Yeah. So I'm thrilled. I had this moment like driving in the car the other day where I was just like overcome with just this calm and peace and gratitude of like, holy shit,
mm-hmm,
we actually made this happen.
We did it. I know.
We actually did this.
I know. It's been a work in progress for quite a while.
Oof.
There's been so many moments where there were so many people I wanted to tell, and I just couldn't. It was just like I had to bite my tongue. I had to sit on my hand. I had to like, whatever, you know?
I know. Well, both you and I had a list of people that were like, okay, I have to call this
person
right now. And I, before before the announcement goes out tomorrow, yeah. is it okay? And then yeah. you were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, I have to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get, and I totally get that because it's yeah. just, yeah. So let's talk, before we wrap up, let's talk for a few okay. minutes about where we're going from here. So
yeah.
you're going to be growing Pricing Overhaul, which is great because you're going to be teaching, continuing to teach all of us, all yeah. of that. So, you know, tell us a little bit about what you think is in your future other than that.
Yeah, I'm really excited about what's happening for Pricing Overhaul. So I've always had a certification, the Pricing Overhaul Academy, and it was just maintaining. So my focus is really in growing and developing the Pricing Overhaul certification and licensure. I am currently building out a closed AI tool that
fabulous.
Integrates my Pricing Overhaul method, takes it out of spreadsheets and into an actual, it's a software with AI integration tool. Mm-hmm. So doing that. And then I have a second edition of my book.
Fabulous.
In the works. Mm-hmm. So I've got a busy year ahead.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Sounds like it. Yeah. And as far for people listening, wondering like what we're going to be doing with LIBR going forward, my plan is to have two tracks within the company, is to have a strict business coaching and consulting arm for people that maybe are thinking of retreats but aren't ready yet. And of course, we're going to keep developing the Retreat Profit Society and just adding more and more value. And the other thing that I'll be doing is offering a lot of crossover. So for people that are doing retreats, can come to some of the calls that I teach on business strategy. And for people who want to dip their toe into retreats, but maybe don't want to commit yet, there's going to be lots of ways to do this. And the reason that I do this is that I am super passionate about ensuring that every business owner out there has a way to monetize their expertise fully using in-person and online. If we learned anything after 2020, that was the case.
I mean, I think that this acquisition is literally the physical manifestation of your hybrid method.
Yeah, it totally is.
It's crazy.
Because
totally
it was after 2020 that it was actually before 2020 when we were teaching it, but it really came into full view then.
Uh-huh. Yeah. yeah.
And I don't think we can be, you know, dumb enough to think that there won't be another world event of some type or whatever that will affect how we do our business. So we yeah. have to be thinking toward the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited for Pricing Overhaul. I'm excited for luxury and business retreats. Like, you know, I feel like when you build something, it's your baby.
Yeah.
And you don't just like drop your baby off at college and say, peace out, goodbye, wish you well. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
totally.
I want it. I'm invested in it.
Yeah, you want it. You want it to grow and do well.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. And I think that's when you know that you're making your decision from the right place too. So.
Yeah.
People wondering like whether or not when it's the right time for you to expand or add something different or sell even. I think these are all just moments of truth. The kind of, I called it the come to Jesus moments in part one that you have to have with
yeah.
yourself.
Yeah. And I think that sometimes it's easy to judge, you know, like, oh, this was just a transaction. Like you were just trying to cash it in. And that's not what it was about.
No, I never thought that for a minute.
Yeah.
I never thought that for a minute. I have to be honest. I was surprised at first. And there was it took a little bit of time for all of that to sink in with me that you were really serious about this. But the more we got into it, it all started lining up mm-hmm. and making sense. And it was really just me getting over my own bullshit in my head that I could actually do this, which I have to be honest, I think every business owner has thought that at some point.
Yeah, well, and I was thinking it like, can I continue to do yeah. this? Am I the yeah. person? But I think that it really is a testament to, the Pricing Overhaul method. Like yeah. I built this company based on the foundations of that pricing method.
Yeah.
And because the business was so financially sound, mm-hmm. it gave me choice. And that's yeah. like when you're a business owner, you need to have choice
yeah.
within your business, whether it's choice to stay and continue to grow, or choice to give it and hand it over to somebody else who might be better at it,
yeah.
more capable.
Yeah.
You know, but if the numbers and the financial stability of the business wasn't where it was, I wouldn't have yeah. been able to make that choice.
Yeah. And I think it's also, getting to a point and deciding that you want, you know, what started as your IP to hand off, like you said, to someone else who can work it into their brand and make it part of their IP. That's yes. really like how we make business better.
Yeah.
For, you know, for entrepreneurs is being able to fully maximize what your genius is.
Well, and I would say that also to that, like not only your IP, but what's really important, I've now done this twice.
Mm-hmm.
I started a company based around me, the personality, right?
Yeah.
The IP develops, but then at some point, it becomes more than you.
Exactly.
It is bigger than you.
Yeah.
And so it was the same when I had my studio. It
yeah.
was bigger than just Aaron, to the point where like the brand, the studio, was able to stand completely on its own without
yeah. Yeah.
Luxury and Business Retreats became its own standalone recognizable brand, the operations, like all
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
So where once I just felt like once Luxury and Business Retreats outgrew me,
mm-hmm. yeah.
it needed, I was only going to hold it back. I was
yeah.
only going to tie it down.
Yeah, because to your point, I think a business only goes, like you said, is a direct reflection of its owner. And if
mm-hmm.
a business is all over the place,
yeah,
it needs to look at themselves in the mirror. I'm not saying that's what happened with you, but it's just, these are all just moments that we have to think about.
Well, that is what happened with me.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that. I don't think you're all over the place. I wouldn't say
well,
that.
Well, no. I mean, I internally felt torn, not all over the place. I had very structured systems, but it was just a constant oscillation and balancing act between the two.
Yeah. And I think you can do that for a while in a business.
Yeah.
But then I think you get to a point and you're like, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
It was a lot of how I felt when we let the studio model go, where it was like, I was back and forth between that and this and that and this. And it's like, I can have both, but I have to have a better system.
Yeah. Or you can have both. And you also have to be realistic with how much of both you can have.
Exactly.
As my dad used to say, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And I was like, then what's the point of having the cake?
Yeah. But of course, then I would argue you can have your cake and eat it too, but you have to find another way to do it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. I love it. So how can people connect with you?
They can connect with me at my website, pricingoverhaul.com. I do have, if they go to the homepage, they can download a free sample of my book, which actually like started this whole thing. They can connect with me on all the socials at pricingoverhaul.
Yep. And I will tell you that we have added Luxury and Business Retreats officially to our website. So if you go www.theallisonk.com and look at the very top, there's a banner there for people to be able to access Luxury and Business Retreats. So it's becoming more and more official, which is really exciting.
Yeah. Every day there's going to be a new edit, a new change.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen overnight, but Oh, I'm excited. I'm going to go to your website now.
Yeah, go check it out. So thanks as always for like giving me more of your time.
Of course.
Yeah.
You can have all my time.
Yeah. And I just want to make sure people know that are listening that, you know, we didn't even talk about the forum. So let's just talk about that.
Oh my goodness. Right. There's that too.
We have the Retreat Industry Forum coming in May. We have less than 20 tickets left. I think the last time I checked, we had 15 tickets left, something like that.
We have one VIP.
Yeah.
And I think there might be eight. So I think we're at like 9 tickets or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So if people out there listening are serious and thinking, this is a chance to come get in the room with us and with our friend Shannon Jamel, who's a marketing genius as well. And we actually have plans to grow this business together, where we're going to be talking about our event coming up in Paris in November. And where are the forums going to go for next year? Because this is going to be an annual event. So
this
is not the last time you're going to see us talking together about retreats.
Right, of course.
Yeah. So definitely, for those of you that want information on the forum, you can find that link in the show notes as well, or you can go to my website, www.theallisonk.com, click the retreats page, and there is an announcement there about the forum. You can go right to the sales page and grab one of the last few tickets that we have. Please don't wait, because these will fill up. That's what I got for you this week, folks. Part two, when is it time to make changes and innovate in your business? You got to hear it straight from the horse's mouth here with Aaron. You got to hear how this whole process came to play. If you are at the point where you're thinking of you know, maybe selling your business. Maybe you're thinking of taking it in another direction. You definitely need to be talking to Erin about this. So please feel free to connect with her. You can find her information in the show notes as well. And that's what I've got for you this week, folks. We sure do appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye.